Thank you for listening to this lesson presented by Reverend Millage Mosby. We affirm that this lesson has inspired and uplifted you and given you practical tools you can use to divinely guide you in every aspect of your life. We give thanks that as a listener of our online Sunday lessons, you are open to donating to support this web ministry. Please click on the donate button and follow your inner guidance. Thank you, and we continue to hold you in the light.
So good morning again. So today's talk is called The Metaphysical Mechanics for Living an Abundant Life. Those who are going on the retreat, we're going to look at that more deeply. And, you know, when we give these talks, what I try to do is stack on top of what I've talked about before as opposed to just totally new. You get what I mean? So we're building on this idea of how do we live the abundant life. And it's, abundance also means everything. Health, relationships, money, all those things that, you know, make our lives happy. And this process, I was talking with one of my colleagues who was struggling with some health issues. And so I was telling her, you might want to try this and you might want to try this and, you know, different health modalities. And she goes, well, I've done that, you know, before once a month and I've done this. And, you know, she just turned 40, which is, some of us have got shoes older than 40, huh? Right. And I said, but, you know, you have to do this every day. And she said to me, gosh, that's a whole change in the way you live. Right? So it's the same thing with these talks. You know, what we're looking at is a whole change in the way we live, a whole change in our perspective. Okay? And all the lessons we study here are designed to help us cultivate a consciousness of abundance. Okay, now, you ever hear that? You hear what I just said, right? Cultivate a consciousness of abundance that works in alignment with the divine ideas that are constantly flowing within us. So there is a process that's always going on inside of us. God is always being God. All right, God is omniactive, always being what God is, always seeking to move from the invisible to the visible. And it's interesting, something else I'm reading, and I can't remember what it is now, is talking about that same idea from a scientific perspective, that that spirit is always, the invisible is always trying to manifest. But it can only manifest how? Through us. All right? So this divine idea process is always happening, but if we are not cultivating a consciousness of abundance, we're not preparing ourselves to work with these ideas as they're coming to us. So if we look closely at the word cultivate, it means to improve and prepare, to tend to promote the growth of, to nurture, to transform, to reform, to refine. And from the perspective of what we're calling the metaphysical mechanics of consciousness, this is viewed as the soil of our minds, okay? The space where ideas grow to fruition. Now, so to cultivate your consciousness means to prepare the soil of your mind by improving the receptivity to accept, nurture, and grow the thoughts and ideas of abundance that are planted in it. So these ideas are being planted in consciousness, but if the soil's not right, nothing happens, okay? So to cultivate that consciousness, we are always looking to try to hear and listen for what we're calling the Word of God. Now, the Word of God is what we're calling divine ideas, right? And divine idea could be as simple as you're driving, and remember I told you to go this way, not that way. You know, I found myself coming back, I was on Central Avenue, and I pulled off onto 193 to turn on 193, and I'm like, all of a sudden I became aware of what I'm doing, going, why am I here? Because I normally go straight up Central Avenue. So the fact that I had turned off unconsciously, was sitting there to turn on 193, made me realize I needed to turn on 193. I didn't question it. Why am I doing this, trying to get out of the lane? You know, so I'm just saying the process is always unfolding inside of you. So, again, the Word of God is what we're calling divine ideas. And the Word of God comes into our conscious awareness as an energy impulse, arousing and provoking and inspiring us to take steps necessary to move to the next level of expression. What we call divine expression being the way we choose to express God in our lives. So this divine expression happens. It comes in, and we've all felt it. It's whether or not we feel like doing anything with it, all right? But it always comes. So the idea here is what we want to do is we want to try to understand what is this idea of God coming into our lives, this divine expression, God being the underlying, unchangeable truth of our being. So when we talk about God being within us, it's the underlying truth of our being. God being is the underlying truth of our being. So the fact that we're experiencing health at varying levels is all in accordance with how in tune we are with God being as our being. Did that make sense? Okay. So, and again, faith, you know, the thing that we're trying to tune into is faith, peace, love, and joy. Faith, peace, love, and joy. That's God being in our being. It'll show up as faith. It'll show up as peace. It'll show up as love. It'll show up as joy. Right? That process is always unfolding. Everything else is a deviation from that truth. Anything that's not part of faith, peace, love, and joy is a deviation from that truth. Okay? Now, it's possible that many of us are not experiencing the abundance that we desire in our lives because we've allowed ourselves to become mentally stuck where we are. How many people know what I'm talking about? You know? And it's a process that just happens. It happens because we're not practicing this idea of being conscious all the time, every day. Does that make sense? So if there's something you need to do, like take vitamin C every day in order to be healthy, you take it one day and then 3 days go by and you don't feel like taking it. Oh, that's right, vitamin C, let me take vitamin C. You see, the process, especially when you're doing natural stuff, it has to build in your system. Right? It's not like taking an aspirin or something like that. It just, it's quick and then it goes away. But when you're doing something natural, it has to build up in your system. It has to get into the consciousness of your cells. All right? So you have to be doing this process all the time. So, many of us, we can be experiencing, we're not experiencing the abundance we desire because we've gotten stuck. It's like, oh, do I have to do this today? Or I don't have time for meditation today. And, my life is so busy. That's why Paramahansa Yogananda said, you might have to give up some sleep in order to do those things which are spiritually important, all right? So, and then when that happens, when we get stuck, it causes what they call, there's a process that's happening in us called divine discontent, okay? That being the inner yearning you receive to take the steps necessary to prepare yourself to move to a higher level of consciousness. You get this desire, discontent. But it doesn't show up as saying, oh, I want to be more spiritual. It shows up as, I want to be healthier. I want to have better relationships. I want to have better work that I really enjoy. You follow what I'm saying? That's how divine discontent shows up. It's like, what's happening in my life right now, there's more that I want to do. That's the divine discontent. Is that, let me go, okay? All right, and again, it's that yearning, or that inner yearning that you receive to take the steps necessary to prepare yourself to move to the next higher level of consciousness. Because you normally can't, if you get this desire, this divine discontent, a lot of times you can't just right away do that thing at the level that you're at. That makes sense? You say, I want to start going to the gym every day. And you go to the gym now once a year. I mean, it's like, right? There's a whole nother level of consciousness that has to happen for you to satisfy that divine discontent, okay? And so a person who is psychologically stuck may have a mental soil condition which is not conducive for growing new ideas or exploring and taking advantage of new possibilities. If you are stuck, that means your soil can only grow this. It cannot grow this next thing that you say you want to do. So this is the mental condition Jesus was referring to in the parable of the sower in Luke 8, 5 through 15, when he said, the seed that fell on the path, because the path is hard. And so when seed got on the path, it's not going to grow. All right. So he said that the condition wasn't right for the seed that fell on the path. So this represents the consciousness of those who hear the word of God, the divine nudging, the still small voice, the whisper, It says, let go of your fear, your worry, your sense of unworthiness, your belief in the power of the conditions in your life that they have that have you stuck. Let go of that. That's that small, still voice. That's the word of God that's saying, you're saying that you want this, but you got to let go of that. You got to let go of the thinking, the mindset that has you in this space. Is that making sense? Okay. And so, so you go through this. So in the parable of the sower, Jesus warned us, if you do not let go, then the devil will come and take away the word from your heart so that you may not believe and be saved from the conditions in your life that trouble you. Let me say that again. If you do not let go, then the devil will come and take away the word from your heart. The word from your heart is a divine discontent that says, this is what I want to do. This is where I want to be. This is where I want to go next. This is the love I want to show, the peace I want to feel. You follow me? But divine discontent, you're not moving. The word of God is saying move, and you're not moving. So the devil comes and takes that away. Okay? And so he said, and so you cannot be saved from the condition that you're struggling with. That you can find that in Matthew 13:19. So the revealing word defines the devil as a state of consciousness that is adverse to the divine good you desire in your life. And this is why the devil is also called the adversary. So let me say that again. The devil, that's a state of consciousness that's adverse to the divine good that you desire in your life. So you say, this is the good I want. Spirit, the word of God comes in and said, this is how you go about doing it. You sit around, you don't do anything. The devil comes in and takes that away. All right, and we know there is no devil, no critter. So what it is, that adverse thinking is your own mindset. Yeah, your own negative thinking. And again, you've heard me say this before. You know, I'm studying the Bhagavad Gita, and that's all that that's about. Arjuna wants to move to the consciousness, or wants to align himself with Krishna, which we would call Christ, but he has to fight this battle, and the battle is the army of his own inner dynamics. They're saying, oh, no, we don't want you to go with Krishna. We want you to stay down here and muddle around with us, okay? And that's the process we all go through all the time. So again, the devil or the adversary is symbolic of any thought, word or deed that opposes, battles, contests, or debates the truth you receive in your mind and heart as to what is possible for you. So you look in the mirror and you go, you know, it's really, this is possible for me. It's possible for me to overcome this struggle, whatever the struggle is in your life. It's possible, okay? But then the adversary comes along and says, yeah, but this and but that and but this and but that. And you go, oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot about that. Let me just sit down and watch TV. You kind of get the dumb it, all right? And so the devil is that stubborn, resistant part of you that refuses to let go of the crystallized thoughts, beliefs, and opinions that may be holding you to a particular experience in your life that you want desperately to overcome, okay? Now, in order to take full advantage of the divine process, you must understand that the concept of the devil and adversary can exist as your internal culture, the internal culture of your consciousness, and is created out of your resistance to the Word of God, the Word of God being the vehicle from which God reveals God's self to you. Okay? Now let me just say that again. So this devil can exist as your internal culture. In other words, this inner battle that you go through, you know, like Worf, the Klingon. The great Klingon said, the greatest battle of war that we fight is the one within ourselves. Okay? And so you develop almost an internal culture of wanting this but not doing it. Because it's an internal culture. You follow what I'm saying? It's just the way that you are. It's the way that I am. How many people say that? Well, it's just the way you are. Or just the way I am. Pam and I have this thing, now you just do you and I'll do me, right? And it's mostly around dinner. You know, she said, no, I don't want that. I want this. And you're like, well, you just do you. I'll do me. All right. And that's a powerful statement. It works. But at the same time, we are always inspiring each other to do something greater. Not in that context, but whatever it is we want to do in our lives. You know, like, you know, we'll say to each other, so what's the next thing you want to do? You know, I think I can tell them, you know, like with language. You know, Pam used to speak fairly fluent French and Italian. And, of course, you get away from it. And, you know, so she's now you're saying, I want to get I want to do me. I want to go back, move back to higher language. You get what I'm saying? So that's sort of the process of inspiring each other to say, well, what did you really want to do? Well, this is why. Well, let me support you in that. Let me help you to change your internal culture so that you can move from where you are to this space that you want to be in. So in understanding this internal culture concept, it's important to realize that you may have unconsciously conditioned the soil of your consciousness to think in such a negative or fearful or hateful or condemning or judgmental or pessimistic way about some aspect of your life or some person in your life, that the very condition itself becomes the devil, which comes and takes away the word of God from your heart. Okay? Meaning takes away the mechanism through which God reveals God's self in you. So this devil, this stuff that we do inside of ourselves, can be the mechanism that takes away how God reveals God's self within you. All right? So this negative internal culture prevents you from believing in God as a divine presence that is always present in every aspect of your life. And the consequence of this negative internal culture will prevent you from receiving the guidance that could lead you out of the negative challenges in your life and into the glory that God has in store for you. All right? Let me say that again, okay? So the consequence is that this negative internal culture, and I venture to say, maybe it's just me, but I venture to say most of us have something in there that we wish we could change, all right? Or we become so comfortable with it that we're not even conscious of the fact that it needs to be changed. You know, as you heard me say, Gurdjieff and Ouspensky, if you don't know that you're asleep, you will never try to wake up. So life happens to try to wake you up. You know, say, oh, why is this happening to me? Remember I said last time I spoke, why is this not happening to me? Why not me? All right? To go through this thing that I'm going through to wake me up to a higher aspect of my own being. Because if nothing happens to wake us up, as Joel Goldstein says, Goldsmith says, we'll just go through life willy-nilly. All right? So as Unity Truth students, it is our work to realize that the devil is not a critter that exists outside of us, but rather the devil is that part of each one of us which is resistant to receiving the divine ideas that are based on truth. Because those divine ideas will cause us to have to disrupt our internal culture and do something different. Okay? So it is that within us that resists surrendering itself to the living word of God. It is the resistance within us that refuses to do the work necessary to prepare the soil of our mind and our consciousness to receive, nurture, cultivate the living word of God. Because the living word of God in an internal culture that's not open to it, nothing happens. You know, again, the seed goes on the path. It's like if you're out, and I don't know if you're out, and if you're doing, you're seeding your lawns right now, or whatever, that seed goes on the driveway. It just sits there, all right? And so that driveway is symbolic of this internal culture that is so stuck that no divine seed can take root in it, all right? And boy, you know, as I say to you, when I'm putting these lessons together, I actually experiment with them. Like something challenging is going on at the college, and I said to Pam, I said, you know, I could either get lost in that, or I could just be totally okay with it. And when I became totally okay with it, the whole dynamic changed. I still had to go through those things, but it was a whole different mindset. Does that make sense? Okay, so what I'm saying is I practice the thing. And I can probably give you examples of ones where I did try to do it this past week, and it didn't work. I stayed in my old culture, all right? So the idea is to practice with these and just see, you know, can I look at this, what's happening, going on in my life differently? You know, and our mind is the key to this whole process of cultivating consciousness to receive the word of God. Our mind is the metaphysical arena, the place of cognition where thoughts and ideas and their accompanying feelings and emotions are continuously forming and evolving or forming and dissolving in an effort to create a certain kind of life with certain kind of relationships. So something happens and we let it and we start to evolve. We feel our whole being changing. Or divine process begin to come in us and we don't let it. And we begin to dissolve. All right? So we cultivate our consciousness by being spiritually receptive. And we do this by what we call spiritual digestion. Now, spiritual digestion, it means we absorb true thoughts into our consciousness through prayer and meditation. So when you spend time in prayer and meditation, you are taking in and digesting spiritual ideas. You got it? I mean, a lot of times, how many times have you come out of a meditation, you go, whoa, that was a waste of time. I could have been doing something else, all right? Because in the meditation, all you're thinking about is all the stuff going on in your life, right? And you can't seem to get past that, all right? But the fact that you surrendered yourself to the process, that I personally, and I don't say this is how you have to do it, I do a meditation with a singing bowl, you know, headphones on and a singing bowl going on. And in the one that I'm doing, you ever seen where they hit this tiny thing that makes a very high-pitched sound? Well, that's all through that singing bowl as well as water rushing. But when they hit that high-pitched sound in there, which happens about every 5 minutes or so, it brings me back to realize I had drifted off and was dealing with something other than being still. All right? So that works well for me. And the fact that I'm using the singing bowl, that even if I am not with the meditation, that singing bowl is creating a vibration in my system that's bringing me into alignment with spirit. All right? So you got to find your own mechanism for how that works for you. But anyway, so spiritual digestion is you're absorbing true thoughts into consciousness through prayer and meditation. Spiritual indigestion occurs when we haphazardly and irresponsibly absorb error thoughts of fear and worry into our consciousness. So do I want spiritual digestion or spiritual indigestion? Okay? Now, as a review for some who, you know, may be new and even for others, let's look at the metaphysical mechanics of our mind. Now, there is soil, which we already identified as consciousness. There is the sower, which for the purpose of this illustration is mind, as we commonly know it. And then there are the seeds, which are the divine ideas we receive from God. So, consciousness, soil. Mind, sower, all right? And divine ideas are seeds. Seeds are given to the mind, which is the sower, to plant in our consciousness. So God doesn't plant ideas straight into consciousness because God wants to give you the choice of working with these divine ideas, okay? Now, the metaphysical mechanics we subscribe to in Unity is God gives divine ideas as seeds to our mind, which is a sower. Then as mind, the sower of seeds decides whether or not to plant the divine ideas from God in our soil or consciousness. If we do choose to plant the seed, the life of the seed, the chance of it surviving and growing depends, of course, on the nature of our consciousness, or what we're referring to is the condition of our soil. So if you got this negative internal culture going on, the seed cannot take root. Does that make sense? All right? So if you do choose to plant the seed, the life of the seed, its chances of growing, again, will all depend on how you work with that to keep it going. Now, therefore, our main spiritual work in life is the conscious, responsible, disciplined conditioning of our soil, which is consciousness. So just like this colleague said, well, I got to do that every day. This is a change in my whole dynamic, my whole way of being. Yes. Unapologetic, yes. Right? It's a continuous, all the time process. And whether or not you receive divine ideas is not the question, because you will receive divine ideas. That's the nature of the universe. That is the nature of God. Divine ideas are constantly pouring into you. But you know what it's like? You turn on the faucet and you want that water that's coming out right now. You got to put the cup there right now. If you don't put the cup there right now, you lost that water. Now more water is coming though. But you didn't get the water that came through at that moment. You get it? So that's the same thing with the divine idea process. It's always coming, constantly. So if you look at the, you know, the great minds of the universe, from, you know, Albert Einstein, Steve Jobs, you know, all of these, even these, all these young kids today that are coming up with all these apps and stuff, you know, they're connected into these ideas that are coming, and they're getting the ideas now, especially the young kids, because they have no fear. They just go for it. I got an idea. Let me go for it. Okay, Pam and I were at, last weekend, we were at, my brother-in-law, Courtney, is a vice chancellor of enrollment at Rutgers. So we were going around campus. They were having a day where all kinds of stuff was going on, food and everything was going on. So he was taking us to different places. One place he took us into had all these kids in there with their parents, every nationality. Their biggest challenge is they have to block kids from China and India because they would just take over the school. All right, but all these kids in there, the highest, you know, SAT scores, you know, 4.0 averages, that kind of thing. And he says, you know, what we have here is this building where there are four professors who actually have apartments in this building. And he said their main job is when these kids come up with ideas to sit down and have some pizza with them and just help them to flush out the idea. Isn't that incredible? All right, the whole college is, or university is set up like that. I mean, the Nabisco building, which, of course, was funded by Nabisco, you know, and they're doing research, and these, you know, freshmen are coming in, and, you know, these professors, some of them are making over $1 million a year because they're being paid by the companies, you know, and all they're doing is research. And the kids now are involved in whatever the research is. They are nurturing these incredible minds, all right? So that's sort of the idea, is how do I get myself in this environment where my mind is constantly being nurtured? You know, so anyway, these are the questions we need to ask ourselves about, you know, how abundance is manifesting our lives. We're trying to figure out, well, what's going on with me right now? Well, you want to ask yourself, what will I do with a divine idea when I receive it? Okay? Number two, what will happen to the idea if I decide to plant it in my consciousness? And number three, have I done the prayer work necessary to develop a soil condition that will nurture the seed so it can survive and grow to fruition? And it's, you know, it's never a thing of, boy, I wish I had been doing that. Start doing it now. Like, I know I told you a story. The guy that said to me, this is when I was really in shape. You know, he said to me, how long is it going to take me to get muscular like that? I said, probably about 5 years. He goes, in 5 years, I'll be 60. I said, in 5 years, you're going to be 60 when you work out or not. Right? So the idea is to start now when you hear these things. You know, so if your internal culture is filled with faith and love, praise and thanksgiving, really important, your consciousness will be rich in idea-enhancing soil. But if your internal culture is filled with fear and worry and lacks gratitude and thankfulness, your soul will be depleted and filled with the weeds of fear and condemnation and ungratefulness, and that's what you will produce. Okay? So, yes, things happen in our lives, in our country, in the world that, you know, upset us, especially in our, you know, our very close individual lives. But you got to ask yourself, do I want to create this kind of internal culture? Do I want this soil to be all mucky with this stuff that I'm struggling with? You get what I'm saying? It's just a practical question you have to ask yourself. And if you're thinking to yourself, what is the nature of my consciousness? For the most part, you can take a look at your reactions to the challenges in your life for some idea of what is happening to you right now. And if you do not like what you observe, you can change the nature of your consciousness by diligently applying yourself to the process of prayer and meditation and the contemplation of God's word. Whatever that word is for you. Okay? This process creates an internal culture that is open and receptive to God's living word of truth. Prayer and meditation. You might want to think about making that a diligent part of your everyday life. All right? And again, as we have spoken about many times before, if you're not diligently working at embracing the truth as a central focus of the way you live your life, you will most likely be embracing some other thought process. And if that other process of the thought process is adverse to the living word of God, you most likely are creating a soil condition, a consciousness that is not open and receptive to the implantation of abundance-producing divine ideas. Because remember, the ideas are going to be put. You are going to receive them. You're receiving them all the time. Now, if you say to me, I never get any divine ideas, whoa. All right? And with every thought, listen carefully, with every thought and with every word, with every deed, you're creating the condition of your soil, the condition of your consciousness. Another great movie, guys, About Time? In Time. It's a slow-moving English movie. You know how English people are, right? The slow-moving English movie. But it's a powerful movie on this idea that every thought, every word, every action is creating the soil condition of your consciousness. You're either preparing it to receive God's living word of truth, or you're preparing your mind to reject God's living word of truth. One or the other, okay? Now, so in an effort to give a better understanding of how our mind works with God's words and divine ideas, I'm going to go way back the days before digital photography to the days of the chemical process of developing black and white. Rod, you with me? Right. How many people have ever done that, developed black and white from chemicals? All right. So let me explain how this works. So a piece of film is inserted into a holder and is placed into a light projector called an enlarger. Okay. Then the light projects through the film, projecting an image onto some white photographic paper. Now, at this point, there's a latent image that exists on a photographic paper. Latent meaning present as potential, but not yet evident or visible. So right now, it still looks like a white piece of paper, okay? Now, can you see where I'm going with this, right? How many of you have had an idea lay latent in your mind? You know you have an idea that has potential for making positive changes in your life, but it's not yet evident as how to bring it into expression, okay? And so after the film is exposed and to the light shining through it and the potential for a photographic image from the film lays on the paper is then inserted into a chemical called a developer. Now, in the developer, the latent image appears right before your eyes. You just see it come right up in the chemistry, okay? So now let's explore the analogy of this process to the metaphysical mechanics of our consciousness. The light of God is constantly shining in our minds, constantly. And it's interesting is that there must be a mechanism to keep us from feeling the full force of it. I just had an eye exam. How many people had an eye exam when they get up to you with that white light? And you're like, whoa, okay. Can you see? You know, it's like blinding, right? Well, God has to be a mechanism within us that keeps us from blinding us, all right? But anyway, so this light of God is constantly shining, and that is the truth that we in Unity subscribe to. So God light is constantly shining within you. God light is constantly shining within me. The image you hold in your mind is equivalent to film. And it's the medium through which God light shines, projecting latent images with the potential to produce visible results of great abundance and happiness into your life. Film, what we're thinking about all the time. Light of God shining through that film. And any of those who've done it, you know that whatever film you put in there, no matter whether it's a picture of something ugly or something beautiful, it's going to create that image on that paper. Is everybody with me? That's the process, okay? So divine substance, in this case, is the developer, which acts upon a latent image. Divine substance is the underlying reality of all things and inspires creation into visible expression. Divine substance underlies all manifestation and is the spiritual essence, the living energy out of which everything is made. It is probably the same as the unified field in quantum physics. So in quantum physics, it said everything comes from the unified field, right? And Paul said about the unified field, we live and breathe and have our being in it, okay? So we're living and believing and have our being in pure potential. But how that potential shows up in our lives depends on the nature of what we are holding constantly in our minds. Okay? So when the latent images of in our minds come in contact with divine substance, and the process which causes the latent image to become visible begins, whether or not you like or appreciate the final image that physically manifests in your life is dependent upon whether or not you appreciate the mental images you are holding in your mind. See, so when we say, oh, God did this for me. Well, God didn't specifically do that for you. God was just being God, doing what God does all the time, which is shining light. All right? And whether or not how it was done for you is depending on what you're holding under that light. Okay? So for clarity, let me say this another way. God light is always shining within you. God light shines through the images you hold in your mind. The latent image produced by this process and the final image or situation or circumstance which materializes in your life would depend on the images you hold in your mind. And that process is constant. It's always happening, all right? So it's imperative that we as truth students realize that all the images in our mind are exposed to God light, you know, causing the metaphysical mechanics of the manifestation process to begin. With this being the case, the question we should be continuously asking ourselves is, do I want this image I'm holding in my mind to become the reality in my life? Because we'll have something going on, and we just can't seem to let it go. You know what I'm talking about? And then, and people come, yeah, let me tell you. And you're talking to them about, oh, yeah, and they just help increase that dynamic. You know what a real prayer partner is? A person who just purely listens. And it listens non-judgmentally. And just hears what you're saying. So that you can hear what you're saying. You get what I'm saying? You get what I'm saying, right? Right? But we always, you know, as one person I talk to, she'll tell me, the colleague, she tells me the stuff that's going on in her life, and I do the Butch Mosby look. And she gets really upset with that. But what she's really looking for me to say is, oh, yeah, you're right. You should be upset about that. Oh, yeah, let's do something about that. You see? But it's common to us, isn't it, to respond that way, right? So, you know, again, if you say to yourself, do I want this image I'm holding in my mind to become a reality in my life? If your answer is no, especially if it's an emphatic no, you need to get busy creating positive, uplifting, spirit-filled images in your mind, images filled with faith, peace, love, and joy, okay? You may have to take your mind totally away from whatever the situation is. You know, buy a ticket, go to Bahamas. Do something. All right, get it. Now, knowledge, knowing and understanding its principles should inspire us to focus our attention on the good that God is and away from that which is not good. And by good, I'm referring to the thoughts that we develop in our internal culture, which support the reality that you're always aware and respectful of the power and presence of God in your life. So being what I'm calling being respectful, aware and respectful, is that you're saying to yourself, but, you know, I'm aware that the power and presence of God exists within me. So I really cannot let myself wallow in this particular kind of thinking. Did you hear that? Be respectful and mindful of the fact that all that you're doing it in the power and presence of God. Okay? And so to take the metaphysical mechanics of this idea one step further, your consciousness holds a developer, meaning the divine substance that acts on the latent images in your mind. So in the photographic process, if you have contaminated, poor developer, the final image will not be to your liking. And so it is in your life. If your consciousness is contaminated with poor, unprosperous, fearful thoughts, the results that becomes visible in your life will not be to your liking. It's physics. It's metaphysics in this case, but you just can't hold negative thought and expect good results. It just doesn't work that way. The universe does not work that way. God is God. All right? impersonal, universal law that has the potential to be magnificent good in your life. But God is not making those decisions. We are. God is just being God. Does that make sense? Okay. So each one of us has a huge responsibility, that being to maintain an inner emotional environment that reflects our awareness of God's presence and God's power. It is our spiritual duty to respect this divine presence and power by maintaining thoughts based on faith, peace, love, and joy. So pray often. And listen to this. Give thanks often. And above all, hold only those images you want to see come into your life as your physical reality. Amen.